are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody. The Timberwolves are back in action tonight after having Tuesday off. They'll be in South Beach to take on the Miami Heat, who sit in the number four spot in the Eastern Conference. Today, we're going to start with some general Wolves notes. Then we'll spend some time previewing the matchup with the Miami Heat. Minnesota, of course, beat the Heat way back in the third game of the season in late October. At the time, it pushed the Wolves' record to 3-0. Much happier times indeed. Of course, both teams looked a lot different. We'll get into that here in a moment. But first, a quick reminder, please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. There's no major Wolves news to report today, although Ryan Saunders' shorthanded squad continues to shuffle players between the Iowa Wolves and the big club. Both Jared Vanderbilt and Jacob Evans III were called up prior to Monday's loss in Dallas. Jacob Evans played in garbage time. I think he had like 3 minutes. Jared Vanderbilt did not see the floor. So far in Iowa, the newcomers have had some success. Just taking a quick look at their stats. Omari Spellman's done the most damage. He's also played in the most games. In three games, he started twice. He's averaging just under 30 minutes a game, 22.3 points, 7.3 rebounds, 2.3 assists, over a steal, a block per game. He's shooting 40.7% from beyond the arc on 9 3-point attempts per game, 48% overall from the field, and shooting about, 3.3 free throws a game, 60% at the line. That's what the Wolves want Omari Spellman to do. He's a guy who's spent the vast majority of his career in the rotation for first the Hawks and then the Warriors this year. He's a guy who's spent, he's 22. He's spent a couple years in the NBA, and so you'd expect the Wolves to dominate in the G League, which isn't something that always happens with guys the Wolves send down that they have that expectation for. It's only been three games, but he's a career 36.6% three-point shooter at the NBA level. He was shooting 39.1% in 49 games this year for the Warriors. So as a career, he's averaging about seven points, 4.5 rebounds a game in the NBA. So a big explosion at the G League level for Spellman. And again, it's what the Wolves have wanted to see out of him. And so that's exactly what he's been tasked with doing. Jared Vanderbilt has also played in two games in the G League. He's averaging 12 points, 12.5 rebounds a game. He doesn't really shoot the three. He is a total of 4 for 4 from the free throw line, shooting 40% from the floor, three assists a game as well. So pretty much what you'd expect to see from him too. The Wolves could definitely use that rebounding ability in the NBA. We'll get to him here in a minute. I know he's somebody who right after the trade was a favorite of mine, the Wolves acquired, and he hasn't really gotten a shot at the NBA level at this point with the Wolves. Jacob Evans has actually appeared in four games, so one more than Spellman. He's played 17.5 minutes a game, hasn't started at all, and is only averaging about 4 points and 2.5 rebounds a game. He's not a shooter. He wasn't supposed to be a shooter. He never has been a shooter. He's more of a defensive-minded guy and a cutter. He's 1 of 9 from three-point range in the G League over his four games. He did miss a three-pointer for the Wolves on Monday against the Mavs in garbage time. So he's somebody who, again, his upside's as a cutter and a defensive player and isn't going to add much in terms of offense, at least not creating his own offense or catching and shooting from three. So a little bit of an underwhelming performance from him so far at the G League level. But in terms of Jared Vanderbilt, that's a guy who would add a ton of athleticism, rebounding ability, and overall just more of a dynamic presence to the Wolves front court if he were able to get some minutes at the NBA level. We talked about him shortly after the draft shortly after the trade about how his college career was cut short due to injury, and he was a solid prospect coming into the NBA, but didn't really get an opportunity with a really good Denver team. Denver actually traded to get him early in the second round back in 2018. And over the first, he only played in 17 games as a rookie, mostly garbage time, 9 games so far this year, same thing. And so far 2 games with the Wolves, mostly the same thing. He had like a 4-minute stint at the end of the third quarter a few games ago, but didn't do a whole lot. So he hasn't really gotten his NBA shot. He's only 20 years old, and he does need to just keep playing at the G League level. And I think that's the best case scenario for him for the rest of the season. However, given the injuries that the Wolves have right now, and while Karl Anthony Towns is out, especially Jake Lehman's back now, but he's also under minutes restriction. In my opinion, I think Vanderbilt should be getting an opportunity in the NBA. The Wolves, it's not like they're competing for a playoff spot. They just don't have bodies in the front court, and they need rebounding. And he's a guy who's supposed to be able to provide that. He's not huge. I mean, he's 6'9", but he's got a good wingspan, and he's extremely athletic and is supposed to have pretty good feel in terms of rebounding as well. So he's the type of guy that I'd really like to see the Wolves give some minutes to here in the near term as they wait for Towns to get healthy. And they also deal with Naz Reid working through foul trouble and Jake Lehman on a minutes restriction. Those are nightly issues right now. And giving Vanderbilt some minutes could be really positive. As far as I know, he's still with the club. The Wolves released their status report on Tuesday ahead of Wednesday's game, and the only player listed as G League assignment was Omari Spellman. And there hasn't been a press release announcing that Evans III and Vanderbilt have gone back to the G League. So there remains an opportunity for him to play. Maybe in Miami, hopefully the Wolves don't get down a ton in this game, but it's certainly possible that they do. And I think Vanderbilt should see some significant minutes, even not in garbage time, would really be my preference. Because again, I think they could use his athleticism in the open floor. They could use his rebounding ability. He's a solid defense. He's supposed to be a really switchable big and can guard a couple of different positions. And the Wolves have really struggled in their pick and roll coverage lately. Of course, rotating in new players isn't going to make that any easier. It is just more guys that need to communicate and understand the coverages. But I mean, after watching Naz Reid and Jarrett Culver and some of those guys struggle through pick and roll coverage on Monday in Dallas, I think throwing Vanderbilt out there, you're not going to get worse results. And at least he's got the athleticism and the rebounding ability to make up for some mistakes and to help the Wolves secure rebounds, which has been just a major issue for them lately and really all season. So here's hoping that we do get to see Jared Vanderbilt in the rotation in the near term. But if not, if he puts up 12-12 or something like that in the minors, in the G League, I should say, that's okay. And that's what he needs to do the rest of the season in order to make a case to be a rotation player next year. I still think there's quite a bit of upside available for him, to be sure. All right, next up, we're going to talk specifically about Wolves Heat. We'll talk about the first matchup between the two teams and how different the teams look now. We'll talk through injury reports, and then we will also discuss the actual matchup, what to look for from the Heat and also from the Timberwolves in this matchup. Okay, real quickly before we jump into Wolves Heat, one last note I wanted to make. There has been a report that Evan Turner, the buyout is still pending with the Timberwolves. The deadline, of course, is Saturday. It's March 1st for him. Actually, I guess that's Sunday. March 1st for him to catch on elsewhere for the playoffs in order to be eligible to play in the playoffs. It's not super clear why it hasn't happened yet. There were some reports, Sean Devaney at heavy.com, and has had a couple different reports related to the buyout. He's still in talks with the Wolves and apparently is still, I think the quote was he's weighing his options. So I know earlier this season, the Hawks and Turner's agent said, oh, he's not going to try and get a buyout from the Hawks. He's committed to the Hawks. And I know Turner's the type of guy who, you know, it does feel like he's not going to force a buyout. And if he doesn't see the right situation playing out for him on a playoff team, it's possible he returns and plays for the Wolves. Of course, they are shorthanded. They would certainly find some minutes for him. I would still expect it to get done by Sunday, but the fact it hasn't happened yet is kind of interesting. Remember, he did work out for the LA Clippers over the All-Star break, which is unusual as he was under contract and still is. But they ended up signing, they signed somebody else, actually. I don't remember who it was now. Marcus Morris, I guess. And Turner apparently isn't an option at this point for them. And so, I mean, the Celtics have been mentioned as a possibility, certainly. And so beyond the Celtics, you know, it's not clear what other suitors there are. It's actually Reggie Jackson, the Clippers signed. I mean, they signed Morris as well, or they traded for Morris, I guess, but they signed Reggie Jackson, which was the spot that otherwise would have gone to Evan Turner. So who knows? I mean, we'll see. We'll keep an eye on it. There's a chance he ends up in a Wolves uniform after all, although I still bet on him getting bought out before the Sunday deadline to be eligible for the playoffs. Okay, let's get into Wolves Heat. So the Wolves and Heat last played on the Sunday after the season opener. It was the third game of the year for the Wolves. Remember, they had won on the road in Brooklyn in overtime in the first game of the season, and then also beaten Charlotte on the road. Returned home to play the Heat, who everybody expected to be good. Then Jimmy Butler didn't play. I believe he had a child is why he was out, but he missed a few games for personal reasons at the time. And now he's actually questionable on Wednesday against the Wolves as well. He's missed the last two games because of personal reasons. We don't know why. They're saying he's healthy. There's no injury, but he's missed two games due to personal reasons, day-to-day slash questionable headed into the Wolves game on Wednesday. But looking back at that Wolves Heat game back in late October, both teams came into the game 2-0. Of course, the Heat not having Butler was significant. They got 25 points from Kendrick Nunn. They got 20 from Justice Winslow. 20 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists from Justice Winslow. Of course, he was part of that big trade that ultimately brought Andre Iguodala to Miami. So he's no longer with the team. Bam Adebayo had 13, 9, and 5 in that game. He's obviously still a big part of what they do. The Wolves, as we've talked about in the last couple of podcasts, the entire team is different. There's only two guys that appeared in that game for the Wolves of the 10 that are still on the team. And the only other guy on the only other guys on the active roster who either didn't play in that game or won't play in this game. Karl Anthony Towns, of course, played in that game, won't play on Wednesday due to the wrist fracture. And then Keelan Martin was on the roster for the game back in October, but did not appear in that game. The Wolves had 25 points from Andrew Wiggins. He got hot at the end of the game, hit a couple big threes. They had 25 and 6 from him. He did not have any assists in that game to 3 turnovers. Karl Anthony Towns had 23 points, 11 rebounds. Wasn't super efficient. Took him 21 shots to get his points. The Wolves also had 11 and 10 from Robert Covington. And then a typical Travion Graham game. He started, played 20 minutes, 0 for 5 shooting, 0 of 2 from beyond the arc. The Wolves also had 21 and 8 from Jeff Teague in that game. The bench players that saw the floor, Noah Vonleh, Jake Lehman, Shabazz Napier, Josh Okogie, and Jarrett Culver, of course, still on the team and probably will both start in Wednesday's game. Gorgui Dieng was not in the rotation at the time in that game either. So the Wolves won that one by 7. They were losing headed into the fourth quarter by 7 points, outscored the Heat 39-25 in the fourth, largely behind Andrew Wiggins. Really impressive, impressive win for the Wolves, even without Jimmy Butler available. The Heat, however, they've been fantastic at home. They're 23-3 at home on the season. Miami's 36-21, 23-3 at home. Not a super easy game for the Wolves, to say the least, in South Beach on Wednesday. The Heat have struggled a little bit lately before and after the All-Star break. If you go back to their last 8 games, they're 2-6 in their last 8. Their only wins coming at Golden State, who, of course, is one of the league's worst teams, and also at home against the Cavaliers, who are also one of the league's worst teams. They've lost at the Clippers, at the Kings, at the Blazers, at the Jazz, at the Hawks, and then also they lost at the Cavaliers last time out by 6 on the road to Cleveland. That was an overtime game. They got outscored by 6 in overtime and against a Cleveland team that is, you know, just shuffled their coaching staff and is certainly a mess. Of course, Butler didn't play in that game. The Heat got, last time out, they got 22 and 13 with 9 assists from Bam Adebayo. He played a team high 41 minutes. Kendrick Nunn had a good game again, 21 points, 4 assists. They got 22 from Goran Dragic off the bench. Andre Iguodala played 17 minutes, so he's still kind of playing a fringy role. The Heat also added Jay Crowder prior to the trade deadline, so he will be available in the game as well. Duncan Robinson had a big game off the bench when the Heat came to Minnesota in October. At the time, it was a little bit of a surprise from a guy who mostly came out of nowhere, was a G League guy, you know, started his college career at a D3 school. He started the other night in Cleveland and had 15 points, so expect him to play a big role again against the Wolves. At any rate, the Heat being 2-6 in their last 8, contrast that with them being super good at home this season, and Butler probably, it sounds like he probably will be available in this game. It's not going to be easy for the Wolves. It's going to be really tough sledding. There's a glimmer of hope just because the Heat have struggled so much lately. They're down to the 4 spot in the Eastern Conference, and they're only a half game up on the team that's in the 5 spot. So it's not going to be a walk in the park for the Heat either moving forward with some of the struggles they've had, some of the injuries they're suffering through, which actually that's a good segue to look at injuries. Myers Leonard and Tyler Hero are both out due to injury. for this game. Neither one will play. Adebayo's listed as questionable. He's expected to play. Jimmy Butler's listed as questionable. What I saw is the Heat are, quote, hopeful that he'll play, is one of the reports that's coming out of Miami. So there are some key players out for the Heat. For the Timberwolves, they'll be without Allen Crabb again for the third straight game due to personal reasons. We're not sure why exactly, but he will be out. Carl Anthony Towns will be out due to a wrist fracture. We know that. Evan Turner's also not with the team, as we mentioned, and Omari Spellman's in the G League. So really just without Crabb and Towns in terms of rotation players. So decently healthy compared to how the Wolves have been, but still overall shorthanded. Jake Lehman, I'm sure, will still be on a minutes restriction. That was supposed to be right around 12 minutes. He played 13 in Dallas on Monday. So we'll keep an eye on how the Wolves use him and what the rotation looks like. Again, I would argue that Jared Vanderbilt should see some minutes at the four, especially with Lehman on this minutes limit, and see how he performs, especially against a guy like Bam Adebayo. See how he can help shore up rebounding, which, as we'll get to in a moment, is a really big key to what the Heat do. So next up, we're going to get into the keys to the game, what to look out for from the Miami Heat, what they're best at, and contrast that with what to look out for on the Wolves side as well. But before we get into it, I did want to mention advertising locally on Locked On Wolves. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Wolves is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Minnesota Timberwolves fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. And not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Wolves fans in a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. Okay, getting a little bit more specific about the Wolves Heat matchup, I want to look at some things that Miami does best and how that contrasts with what the Wolves really struggle with. Miami has the eighth best offense in the league based on offensive rating. They're only 15th in points per game, but that's because they play at a pretty slow pace. That said, they're the second best three-point shooting team in the league. They shoot the 11th most threes per game, so just under 35 per game. So a lot of threes, but they're not the Timberwolves in terms of attempts, and they're certainly not the Timberwolves in terms of makes either. The Wolves are one of the league's least accurate three-point shooting teams, despite shooting, up near the top of the league in attempts per game. The Heat are second in makes, or I should say second in three-point percentage, 37.8% on the season. Extremely, extremely accurate from beyond the arc. They're led by Duncan Robinson, who we mentioned in the last segment was an undrafted guy, G League guy last year, started his college career in Division III, was in the three-point competition this year, has been a starter since the early stages of the season. He wasn't a starter the first time these teams played, but he basically started since Halloween, and he's a 43.4% three-point shooter. Myers Leonard won't be available. He's shooting 42.9% this year from beyond the arc. Kelly Olynyk has seen his minutes shortened a little bit, especially since Robinson's emergence, but he's a 40% three-point shooter. Tyler Herro also won't be available. The rookie, he's shooting 39.3% from beyond the arc, but he will be out due to injury. Goran Dragic comes off the bench for this team, 38.6% from beyond the arc. Basically, everybody that's in this rotation is an above-average three-point shooter. Kendrick Nunn is kind of right at the league average, slightly above league average. Jimmy Butler, actually, this season is only shooting 24.6% from beyond the arc, which is shocking for him. I mean, he's never been a sharpshooter by any stretch of the imagination. But leading into this season, I mean, through last year, for his career, Jimmy Butler is a 34.1% three-point shooter. He's shooting 24.6% this year, and also the least amount of threes per game that he's attempted since his second year in the league. So really strange, and this would easily be his worst three-point shooting percentage, throwing out his rookie year when he didn't play a whole lot. He's still averaging 20 points a game, 7 rebounds a game, 6 assists per game. The rebounds and assists are both on track to be career highs for him in terms of per-game average, and he was an all-star, of course, too. So just less a part of his game this year, but the percentage is extremely low. So I was surprised to see that. Also of note for the Heat, they're an extremely good defensive rebounding team. They're fourth in the league in defensive rebounding percentage, which is the best measure for how they're rebounding. They're actually still fifth in defensive rebounds per game. They don't grab very many offensive rebounds, but that's as much by design as anything else. The Heat are a solid defensive team, but they're not great. And a big part of what they do is getting back on defense, playing at a relatively slow pace on offense, and controlling the pace of the game. In terms of defensive rebounding, though, fourth in defensive rebounding percentage, they've got guys like Bam Adebayo especially who can just suck up rebounds. In terms of wing rebounders, obviously Jimmy Butler is a really good rebounder, and as mentioned, is having a career high, almost 7 rebounds per game in terms of a per game rebounding percentage or rebounding average. Justice Winslow is no longer with the team, but Jay Crowder has kind of stepped in and filled his role as a strong rebounder on the wing. And Andre Iguodala, too, is a good rebounder for his position, and he has only now played 6 games with the team, averaging about 20 minutes a game, and has been more of a defensive presence than anything else, as expected. But Adebayo and Jimmy Butler kind of lead the way in the rebounding category for Miami. And the Wolves don't have a ton of physical rebounders on their team. Basically, you've got James Johnson, who is a little bit undersized, and hopefully he can kind of combat Jimmy Butler. My guess is he sees if Butler plays, James Johnson will guard him some, will be tasked with checking him on the glass as well. And then the Wolves wing defenders, I mean, Josh Okogie's got to get in there, rebound, he's got to defend. He'll also have a shot at Jimmy Butler, surely. But again, without Towns, with Naz Reid struggling with foul trouble and also not being a great rebounder himself, the Wolves need to rebound all 5. And against this team especially, they need to make sure that they're securing rebounds, as the Heat are such an efficient offense that if you give them second chances, they're going to make the most of it. And the Heat, again, aren't a great offensive rebounding team, but they're so good offensively that they're going to cash in any opportunities that they do get. And if the Wolves bring in poor defensive rebounding effort, then the Heat are still going to get some of those extra possessions and make the most of them. I also wanted to mention that the Heat, in terms of free throws per game, they're fourth in the league. Free throws per field goal attempt, they're attempting 0.231 free throws per field goal attempt. So essentially 23% of the time they attempt a field goal, they also attempt a free throw, which is incredible. They're only 14th in free throw percentage, but when you shoot 25 a game, you can be 14th in percentage. I mean, they shoot so many. And a huge part of that, again, is Jimmy Butler. That's another area where he's always been really good in his career, but another area that he's averaging a career high. 9.1 free throw attempts per game. His shooting percentage is right in line with his career average, almost exactly with his free throw shooting percentage. So Butler's operating more in the paint. He's getting to the line more and shooting less threes than he did as a Timberwolf. So that's something else to keep an eye on this game. Even without Butler, Bam Adebayo gets fouled a lot in the paint. He's an okay free throw shooter. He's just under 70%. Goran Dragic gets to the line a lot off the bench. And this team can score exactly how the Wolves want to score, from the free throw line and from the three-point line. They're just better shooting in both places than the Timberwolves are. And that's a good example of a team with a better roster and a better plan and a better overall structure, operating in a somewhat similar fashion. The Wolves obviously are using a lot more possessions per game and playing a lot faster, but the Heat are getting where they want to get and getting the shots that they want to get and the most efficient shots, just playing more slowly. The Heat are actually only 28th in the league in two-point attempts per game, which is exactly what the Wolves want to do. But again, they're going about it a different way, and they just have better shooters on the roster, and that's a key reason for it. The Wolves are actually, in terms of two-point attempts per game, the Wolves are in that same neighborhood. They're the 26th. In two-point attempts per game. The Heat are 28th. The Wolves are third in three-point attempts per game. The Heat are, second. And in terms of, or fifth, actually, in terms of free throw attempts per game, the Wolves are third in free throw attempts per game. And the Heat are fourth. So the two teams are really close in terms of how they're trying to play offensively. In terms of the shot distribution, the Heat are more accurate. The Heat are using less possessions per game, and their offense is that much better because they're that much more accurate and more efficient. So that's just a really interesting study. Obviously, they're going about getting these shots in very different ways and are getting very different results. But there it is. I mean, that's a good team trying to play the same way, and trying to get those same efficient shots. Just differently. So that'll be interesting to watch. If Jimmy Butler plays, this is obviously a very different game than if he doesn't play. And again, the Heat have been really great at home, but this should be a fun game to watch. The Heat are a lot of fun, and there's going to be a lot of three-point attempts in this game as well. We'll be back on Thursday with a recap of this game. We'll talk studs and duds, look ahead to the rest of the week and the weekend as well. But otherwise, that's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.